Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Finance Committee Meeting, complete recording, March 3, 2015.
9:18, if you do a roll call.
Bill Lincoln.
David
Rackap.
Ron Malloy.
Mary Russell.
Stephanie Gray.
Wonderful. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from February 3rd?
Second.
Wonderful. I'll turn it over to Ms. Michaels for her presentation. The three items are going to be done.
The first item is the food service RFP process. The purpose of this presentation is to inform you of the details regarding the mandatory rebid of our food service contract. Right now, some important dates. Our current contract expires June 30th of this year. Our current food service company is Chartwell. The mandatory rebid is structured by PDE, the Department of Division of Food and Nutrition, and they basically identify the RFP, they put the components in it. It's a very structured RFP. It's not one that we compile and put together. We have to follow their guidelines. And this is in order for us to comply with the USDA guidelines. A timeline on this process is as follows. At the end of February, the RFP was compiled and submitted to our solicitor's office and also to PDE, Division of Food and Nutrition, for review. It's recommended that PDE reviews the RFP first to make sure that we're not missing any components and that we're following the guidelines. In this month, we're looking for the school board to approve, for us to approve the advertisement and the solicit of proposals, and we will also advertise this month. In April, there's a mandatory pre-bid meeting on April 9th. It's mandatory to any vendor that wishes to submit a proposal. So if the vendor has to come to the pre-bid meeting, it's a walkthrough at the high school. We're going to do a walkthrough at the satellite sites of Cedarbrook and One Elementary. So again, the vendors must be there in order to submit an RFP. We'll have the bid opening on April 20th. And then at the May Financial Affairs Committee meeting, we'll ask for a recommendation to award the bid. And then at the May 12th Legislative Board meeting, we'll ask for the award of bid. So that's the timeline for this process. And at this point, what we're looking for at the March 10th Legislative Board meeting is a approval of advertisement and receipt of proposals for the food service RFP.
Any more questions on the RFP process? General?
When did we last put an RFP out for the food service? Are you aware?
It was 4 years ago.
Four years ago.
It's basically what happens is when you go out to mandatory rebid, it's for a year, and then you have 3 years to renew without going back through the bid process.
So we have one provider now, but obviously there must be other people here who would potentially bid on providing meals here in the Cheltenham?
Yes, the state actually has a list of all of the vendors within the state that we will send the RFP. We actually send the copies of the RFP out to them as well as advertise in two of the local papers. So we do hit all of the different vendors.
Okay. Any other questions?
And this is a question you made. I think it's to you, copy. Does MCIU also have a list of preferred food vendors?
Not to my knowledge. We usually follow the state because they have the comprehensive listing. I went through this process before, and from my knowledge, we usually get three of the major vendors that always solicit proposals for us. But yeah, the listing from the state is pretty comprehensive.
Just so I'm clear on it, so whoever wins the bid this year or the end of the school year, will they have it for the next 3 or 4 years? basically?
Basically what happens is they win the award for 1 year, so that'll be 15-16, and then there's an option to renew for a following
three.
We have the option. Normally that's the practice that we follow. Because
3 years after 15-16.
Yes, there's an option. We don't have to, but then you have to go through this process again if you go out to bid, if you decide not to renew with that company.
Okay.
That's just all I need to know. Thank you.
From this side. Anything from the public on the RFP? Wonderful.
Okay.
Not that you can't ask, but please.
Wonderful.
Yes. The next presentation is a 2015-16 budget planning. The purpose of this presentation is to provide the school board with an update on the 15-16 budget process. Some of the key budget planning factors that we have is that there was the preliminary 15-16 budget was presented at index, or 1.9% increase of approximately $1.5 million of additional revenue. The preliminary numbers for the budget is $103.89 million roughly. The 15-16 millage is 44.5156. And the impact on the median household would be $9.98 a month. Some other budget planning factors is state budget, which was presented today, which I'll touch upon in my next slide. Obviously, with the facilities meeting previously to this, capital projects, and also the BEC contract expires June 30th of this year. So those are some planning factors taken into consideration of building that prelim budget. So the highlights of Governor Wolf's budget address was schools, from what I understand, it was schools that teach. And basically, the education budget, his proposal was to increase it by $1 billion from pre-K all the way to higher ed. Three major areas in education that it impacts is an increase of $500 million total in basic ed and special ed funding. There would be some restructuring of the funding formula for cyber charter school tuition. PA school districts would estimate a savings of $162 million. This was based on 13-14 data. And then there's a four-year plan to give some property tax relief in a rough amount of $3.8 billion, and this would start in 16-17. So some of the other things, just to highlight from his budget, was that the way that he is proposing to fund this is to put a 5% tax on natural gas, to increase the state tax by 20% and raise it to 3.7%, and to also raise the sales tax in PA by 6% to equal 6.6%. So that's how the plan is to fund the $1 billion increase in education. Some of the things that we're looking at during the budget planning that could be cost reductions or revenue savers or increases is that we want to continue to align retirements with programmatic needs. We want to take a look at our transportation. We want to look at overtime district-wide. Another thing is that in the 15-16 budget, we are moving all the other departments and the buildings have gone to site-based budgeting, which means that it's based on the site, not necessarily because you're an elementary, you get the same amount as the other elementaries, because it does have to do with enrollment and the size of the buildings. So something with the class program that we're moving towards, we're doing site-based budgeting for class. The enrollment at the sites are not all the same, so the allocation of resources should not be the same at each site. So we're taking a look at doing that differently this year. We're also looking at maximizing special education funds through Access and IDEA. And we're also looking at investment planning. And by this, I mean taking a look at when we do receive capital or bond funds, is through arbitrage, is earning interest on those funds to the maximum capacity. Right now, we've kind of flip-flopped that practice where we've borrowed from the general fund, that's been our practice, to fund the bonds and then move our borrowing later in the year. So essentially when we receive those bond proceeds, we're refunding the general fund, so we don't have the
opportunity to take all of those funds necessarily at the same time and invest them for the capital, the length of the project, so that we have a draw schedule. Also looking to do some investment in the one-time revenue hits that we had talked about. One of the examples is the PlanCom money that we received this year that was unexpected, is to invest that long-term. So we're working with PISLAF and also Pliget and their investment people to come up with a longer-term plan in investing those funds. So some of the key budget dates, April 7th is the next school board budget planning meeting, and the anticipation in that meeting is to do some five-year projections. Now that we have a little bit clearer direction on Cedarbrook, we can incorporate the capital project piece to that, and to kind of get some more information on those areas that I just touched upon and cost savings. May 5th is the budget hearing, and June 9th will be the adoption of the final budget.
I think the next, all right, yeah, let's keep it the same format. We'll come back around this way. Any questions on it?
And again, I want to make the assumption here, we are not using drawdown general fund currently in the 15-16. Are we still planning to use any of the general fund balance to support our 15-16 budget?
Our fund balance?
Yes.
No.
I love that. Again, wanted to say that that's tremendous work. Thank you very much for getting us to the point where we don't have to utilize, you know, the pennies that we have in savings to offset operating, you know, expenses. That's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I just have two questions. The first is, boy, that was a magnanimous speech today. A lot of good news for Pennsylvanians. well, it's out there. At least it's out there.
Yeah, minor detail.
So let's assume that somehow the majority party out there finds a way to agree with some part of what he's put out there. By the way, my senator proposed an 8% severance that I support. Let's say 5. So if by good chance somehow good sense is restored to Harrisburg long enough that they take some of this up, we're going to have to vote for a final budget before they settle. They're not going to settle until mid-June, maybe July. They may go for a record this year. So, that being the case, and you may not be able to answer this, but I think we need to figure out this answer. If we pass the budget with the tax increase and we come back with the good news that Julie shared with us today and you just mentioned, are we allowed to go and then change the budget?
No.
That's a problem.
Okay.
That was one question.
Bill, can I just make a comment?
There would be value added, though, in the next budget.
Oh, absolutely. By all means. Yeah, I'm just thinking about, like, short-term versus...
We just can't bank this money that until the fight takes place in Harrisburg.
Right.
I think one thing to keep in mind is that the index of 1.9 gives us a $1.4 million, and then 1.2 is put aside for projects for this upcoming budget. So it's kind of a keeping programs still operating at the same cost that we have right now, but the majority of that money is going into tiles and product stuff that needs to be done in our projects. Mm-hmm. Right? Am I right?
Okay. Well, wishful thinking. So next year will look better if that happens. So the other question I had is, I'd like to request a copy of the full budget. I'd just like to look at it. As I said in the previous meeting, I'm not a numbers guy, but I like to try to stumble my way through it. I'd like to know better than just looking at PA 2038 or whatever the document is that we share.
Absolutely.
I'll take it electronically. I don't need a printout, whatever's easiest. I like to peruse and better understand the structure of the budget. And I don't know if we're going to have any kind of a budget discussion. I see we have a hearing, so I'll hold off till then, but I would like to request.
May I comment?
Ms. Michaels and I already discussed that we're going to provide that for all board members. And in addition to that, if you have any specific questions, that contact Ms. Michaels or me, and we'll be glad to answer the questions. And if we don't know the answer, we'll find out.
But, we'll come back.
I wasn't looking at anybody, but I just wanted to make sure everybody knows I'm not going to know all the answers.
Yeah,
I have
no,
to do some research.
Yeah.
I would say too, the format that you receive monthly in the that's the format that you're requesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Whatever you can. I'm not asking you. You did a hell of a lot of work for us back in December. I'm not asking you to have another big assignment. I just would like to see it. So. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
In terms of the school board budget hearing planning on April the 7th, you said you'll provide a 5-year projection. That'll include also, you said, the capital budget piece, which we kind of know that'll be worked in. As part of the budget planning piece, you're going to be looking at also the transportation, the overtime, et cetera. Are there additional things that we'll be looking at beyond the ones that are here?
For the 15-16 budget year, those items that we're looking at are our focus right now of what we're looking at as far as cost savings and implementing them for the 15-16 year. I think collectively as a group, we're constantly looking at long-term items, but I think with the challenges of our facilities right now, the time that we needed to put into what project we were focusing on and what efforts we were focusing on that went into the facilities piece for this 15-16 budget year.
And I know probably, I don't even know how long ago it is now, we had kind of a brainstorm where there were lots of different things kind of thrown out there as potential cost savings. Where are those in the scheme of all this? I just wanted to...
I have now reviewed that list twice, and I have some really, really concerns about them because they're deep into services provided to our community. I would be very concerned that we would, at this point, as a school district, if we would be providing fewer services or less service, or we would lose quality of service. And Ms. Michaels and I have had this discussion. We're going to keep looking at it, but there are some major degrading of value that we deliver to our community there that I would be very reluctant to bring to the board at this point.
Thank you for that clarification.
Ms. Hamraida.
Hi.
Mr. Mark.
A couple things. One is budget planning page. Your first item is continue to align retirements with programmatic needs. Can you just give an example of what that might look like?
We work with Mrs. David's department when retirements happen, whether or not if that particular retirement needs to be replaced to fill programmatic needs, or is it one that we don't have to replace? So we're constantly looking at retirements that if a retirement did happen in, say, Elkins Park, I'm just using that building as an example, would it need to be replaced, or would current staffing be able to absorb what that position did, or could things be allocated in a different way that same services could be delivered with a lesser amount of staff?
Does that tie in with what you were just talking about?
When we get a retirement, there's an opportunity to review what's the value added for that position. Should we relook at it? That's a time to rethink, because you don't have an incumbent that you're concerned about.
And you're not facing a union situation where you can't eliminate.
Well, I won't go that far.
Okay. The other question is, in the process of establishing a budget, do we go through, and over the years this has been talked about in both ways, do we look at line items and say to whoever is responsible for that line item and say, justify it from penny one? Is it a zero-based kind of mentality where you say, I'm not making any assumptions? options going forward. I need to know that every penny we spend is actually needed and not just carried forward because we did it last year.
We, probably about 3 years ago, let me back up to probably about 6 years ago, the budget got changed to a site-based budgeting where principals had input into their budget instead of it being a central admin. Then probably about 2 years after that, when Matt first got here, he took it to a zero-based budget and started over at the site, at each site and each department. So from his data, we've built from there to determine where we've kind of leveled off on maintaining programs and resources within the departments and at each site. So we did go through the process of going through a zero-based, and then from there, we've made adjustments up or down depending on the needs of that site. So
is that a continuing process, or do we make assumptions that at some point, well, you have to start at 10, but we could build a 10, and you say, no, we start at 0, and we justify 1, justify 2, justify 3.
We do. I mean, when they build their budget, they have to justify what they need in their budget when they're doing the line item. In the past, we've gone back and said you have to take 5% off of your budget. You can do it wherever you want. This year, if you remember when we started, I said status quo from the beginning. So people's allocations from last year were at status quo. So when we built this year, it was at a status quo with programmatic funding.
And that's fine, but I mean, even at status quo, you could make the argument that status quo gives me $100,000 to do something, but in reality, I only need 40. It's just because status quo means I have the same as I did last year. I might not need the same as I did.
No, the trends at the, if anything, the trends at the elementaries and the enrollments that you've seen and the discussions that I've just had, because of the new buildings and because of the increased enrollment, do not support that $100,000 is given to a building, but only 40 is needed. That's looked at and reviewed with the principal. They do justify the lines that they put in there. And I think the allocations that are given out to the buildings are in line with what is needed to run the building and departments.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks again for the presentation. I saw some of it ahead of time, but I always like things you point out to us and also key for there. Looking at right now, the preliminary budget calls for 1.9% increase, and once we vote on it, that can't be changed. That doesn't mean that from looking at some of your budget plannings, if we're able to bring down some of the costs, that maybe it might only be a 1.5% increase. I mean, right now it's not written in stone. I mean, that's, or is this saying, well, we'll probably, looks like it's going to be a 1.9% increase no matter what we do.
Right now the budget as presented requires a 1.9% increase.
Okay, and that's including Cedarbrook construction costs.
Elkins Park, yes.
Okay.
Addressing the needs of Elkins Park.
Right, and then some other questions were already asked. So that
I think there's an important point there that we need to talk about. Not just the budget time, we need to look for cost savings throughout the year. And what we've been trying to provide work in updates is places where we have been able to save taxpayers money. There was, I know, one in Dr. Bobby's update. There's one we're working on right now. We're working with the township to save on fees and with construction. Could be a considerable amount of money. It's all the taxpayers' money. So we're constantly saying, how can we be smarter? How can we do it less expensively?
That's good. It's a good thing. So continue to publish. If any savings, make sure we put it out.
We like the public to know that, because when you go out and you talk to the public and your constituents, it's good to have access to do some things that we're doing.
Yeah. It comes across, you put in the weekly update too.
Right.
Parents, thank you.
So I heard the word arbitrage, and that made me a little nervous.
A little bit.
So I know that we have all kinds of restrictions on what we can do with our investments. But a number of districts and municipalities got in trouble a few years ago because although what they were doing was legal within state law, it ended up being disastrous for certain municipalities in terms of, I forgot what the whole...
Swaps.
Well, interest rate swaps. So you're not talking about that kind
of
stuff.
No, we're just talking about... We're talking about if you draw, say we draw $30 million down and we give the, Plugitus, who we use, who we invest our bonds with, our bond funds with, if we give Plugit our draw schedule over a 3 years or a 2 year period of that, they'll invest it based on our draw needs. So, and the longer that you can go out with your investment, obviously the more money you can earn off.
So it's savings versus it is. CB.
Okay.
I'm very familiar with what you're talking about. There's nothing to do with that.
I didn't anticipate that it was, but I just wanted to clarify for everybody who might have heard that word that we weren't talking about exactly the stuff that was technically legal, but it's not, but against the spirit and had a great deal of risk. That, and I think the problem was that a lot of advisors, financial advisors, reassured districts that this was safer than it was, and some districts and municipalities bought that, and it wasn't quite as. But we're not talking that. That's not what we're talking about. Good. Okay. That's it.
Ms. Graff?
Yeah, and I was going to ask, we're talking about the investment planning piece of this
conversation. At some point, I would love to see the building phased. I think the budget.
By building, okay.
Yeah, I think the budget document that you're requesting isn't going to be as helpful because you're just going to be salaries or something like that. But if you, to me, what's that?
I'm just saying it'll be similar to what we get.
Yeah.
I can do it by building.
That would be helpful.
Okay, absolutely.
Any questions from the community?
No. Not at this time.
Okay, last presentation.
Yep. As with the last meeting, we said we're going to add this to all the meetings, 14-15 financial update, so you understand where we are with budget right now. And this is just an informational update on the current status of our 14-15 budget. A lot of numbers here, but where we're at right now, we're at about $90.3 million in total revenue collection, which is about 88.25% of our budget. And as far as our spend is concerned, we're about $60.1 million in spend, which is about 58.73% of our budget. And right now, we are actually on target with our projections.
You sound like Dr. Bobby.
Yes.
I did steal
it. Good word, yes.
That's good. Questions? Mr. Nelson?
You have a chair, go for it.
Mr. Engel?
No. Good.
I just have a question. Based off of this being on target, what is our projected fund balance? And if you don't have that question, better answer for next time, we can kind of know what we're projecting as far as the fund balance for this year. So that way we can determine, you know, I know last year we put about $5 million into projects. Right.
I see.
$5 million into projects for this year, so we can kind of get an idea of what the fund balance is going to be for this year, so then we can say we've got $15 million in the project fund balance.
Okay.
That would be a nice thing to consider.
Okay.
As we look at drawing $88 million.
I will definitely have that projection out for next
week. A quick question, is the $25 million bond, is that an issue for this year?
Yes.
That's an issue.
Yeah, that happened in December.
In December, okay, just want to make sure. And that's going to Winco and to the high school. What's that money?
Yes, there were, I think, three projects on top of Winco that were already committed with those funds.
And some of those funds that are not being used, I guess, is this a five new investment? I mean, some of them are being invested that we aren't using right now.
If you remember what I just said is, and the board authorized this before, we pre-funded the bond payments with general fund money. So when the money came back in from the $25 million, we had to get that back over into the general fund. That money has been invested. So right now, the money that's sitting out in the bond fund is unfortunately anticipated on being used very quickly because we're at the end of Winco and the end of some of these projects are going to have to be built.
So it's so close, it makes sense.
The funds that we took back to the general fund, though, and invested out, we invested those for a longer term.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions from the public? Fabulous. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivations 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.